Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
First is power. About three people were excited about that. I need you to turn to someone with a bit of faith in your spirit and say, first is power. Turn the person behind you that wasn't really paying attention and say, first is power. And then turn to the neighbor that you like and say it. Turn to the good-looking neighbor that you like and say, first is power. I want you to know that whatever is first in your life has power in your life. Jesus says in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 35, He said, whoever wants to be first, if you want to be first, then you've got to be last. Whoever wants to be the greatest has to be the servant. And it's not that he didn't want anyone to be great, and it's not that he didn't want anyone to be first, but he's trying to teach us something, that the way we achieve first in God's economy is different to the way we achieve first in the world. Somebody say first. The book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says these four words, which I reckon if we could take these four words and build our lives on these four words in 2020, our lives would be significantly different. These four words, the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, God. Say that together with me. In the beginning, God. Imagine if we could put God at the beginning of everything. And then another passage of scripture, which for me has been the key scripture of my life. Keep going, Alpha, thank you very much. How many love Alpha, by the way? Alpha is not only an amazing keyboardist, he's an amazing singer, and he's a great comedian. And he's also very hardworking, by the way. He will often work night shift on a Saturday, come to church and play church on Sunday morning without having any sleep. Come on, how many know? Revival is built on the shoulders of its volunteers. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, a key passage of scripture for me in my life, has guided me from the moment I gave my life to Christ. And throughout my life, I've tried to fashion my life according to this. And it simply says this, seek first, everyone say first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. You know what I've discovered? It's much easier to preach it than it is to live it. It's much easier to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will come to me. But when we live like we're seeking all these other things and praying that God will bless these other things. But He's saying if you could trust God and seek Him first, He says if you seek Him first, then everything else will follow you. So often we seek the gift, but we should be seeking the gift giver. Come on, somebody. My kids, if I'm going out somewhere, they've learned that they like to come with me wherever I'm going. Why? Because whoever's with me, well, I've got three children, whichever child is with me, inevitably when we go somewhere, we're going to buy something. Inevitably, and whatever we buy, they're going to get it. And then we get home, and the others didn't get it. And then they go, you should have told me you were doing that. Well, I didn't know I was doing that. I just decided to do that when we got there with my favorite child that I took with me. See, my children understand this. If they just hang around with Dad, then they get whatever Dad's got in his hand. But if they just try and seek what Dad's stuff in the house, then that's all they'll ever have in their lives. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Touch someone next to you and say, God wants to add to you this year. There was this guy who was walking along towards an escalator. And what happened was, he's walking towards the escalator, he's in this mall. And this guy's a prankster, he's a YouTube prankster. And he's walking towards this escalator. He gets at the end of the path. There's an escalator that goes up, escalator that goes down. An escalator an escalator that goes up and an escalator that's coming up this way. That make sense? So anyway, so he's walking, and he's kind of walking in such a way that he's kind of gathering a bit of a crowd behind him. And, you know, he's walking, and all these people behind him, while they're on their phones, they're checking their social media, they're on their iPads. They're not really paying attention to what's going on, but they just know that there's a guy, and that he's heading in the direction they're heading, so they're just following him. And so all of these people end up following this guy. So this guy, he's got a line of about 12 people, and they're following him, and he's just walking. And when he gets to the escalator, instead of jumping on the escalator, standing still and going up, he gets on the escalator part that's coming up. So now he's going like this on the escalator, and now he's doing the moonwalk on the escalator, and he's going like this, and he's not moving anywhere. And of course, all 12 of the people who are following him, like all of a sudden, they're all here, and then they all look up and notice that they're going in the wrong direction. There are so many of us that are following people, following things, following ideologies, seeking after things that are going in the wrong direction. Because we are not following the one who is seeking God first. And in 2020, I believe that God's about to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all you can ask, think, or imagine. There are three things as we come to this last Sunday, where first is power, that I want to give you today. Number one, I've kind of already been saying it for the last half an hour, but how many know that knowing it and doing it are two different things? Number one, seek God first. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 3, when Moses received the Ten Commandments, the first commandment was, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Don't you love the fact that your God brought you up out of Egypt? He brought you up out of slavery. And you shall have no other gods, little g, before me. The little g God, in its original language, means love or passions. So he says, I am the Lord your God. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. There shall never be none but me. I am God. And I brought you out of Egypt. And I saved you out of the land of slavery. And you shall have no other loves or passions before me. He's saying, hey, I set you free. Don't bind yourself up in stuff that got you bound in the first place. He's saying, seek me first. If God is in your life, but he's not first, then can I humbly suggest that perhaps he's not actually God at all of your life. He might be Savior of your life, but is he Lord of your life? If he is not the top of your life, then where does he fit in your schedule? If he's not number one, then number two? Number five. Now, no well-meaning Christian intends to do that. We don't mean to do that, but somehow life and our hearts have a way of rearranging priorities. And I've discovered in life that as I get older, I don't have fewer things to do in my to-do list. Have you ever woken up in the morning, had a to-do list this long, and worked hard all day and get home at the end of the day, and your list is three times longer? Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Oh, good, just the hard-working ones. Awesome. I've discovered in life that the older I get, I don't have less things to do, I have more. But what I've also discovered is that not everything I do has equal value. Not every task offers equal value. In fact, I know this to be absolutely true. We pride ourselves as a culture on being busy. Even Christianity, we pride ourselves on being busy. Because if I'm busy, I'm important. And if I'm busy, I'm working for God. There's a very big difference between being busy and being effective. Jesus was never busy. Jesus had 3 years to change the world upside down. At no point in that. And he walked everywhere. He didn't have any social media. He didn't have a plane. He walked everywhere. And in 3 years, he achieved everything that he was meant to achieve. I want you to know that you've got all the time you need to do everything that God's called you to do in the name of Jesus. I don't have time. No, you do have time. But what you've got to do is you've got to prioritize. And we're going to say, okay, I've got to do the first things first. When I used to come home from school as a kid, I'd come home, the first thing I'd want to do is watch TV. My mom would say this to me. She'd say, you can't watch TV until you've done your homework first. Why? Because she knew that if I watched the TV, the homework would never get done. There are many Christians who are too busy watching their TV instead of getting the homework done. And I want to believe that 2020 is the year where we put first things first. Touch someone next to you and say, I'm really glad you came to hear this today. Join the person on the other side and say, this message is definitely not is definitely for you, not for me. But there are three things I want to give you today. Number one, seek God first. Seek God first. Recently, I was talking to a wonderful man by the name of George Lemusu. George Lemusu, he's a pastor, married to the wonderful Jenny Lemusu. And recently, I was talking to him. I said, George, 2020, come on. He says, yeah, the Lord's been speaking to me. I said, what's he been saying? He's been saying to me to seek God first. I said, what does that mean for you? He said, well, for the past few years, I've been going to my boss and saying, can I have Sundays off? The boss would say no. Can I have some time off on Sundays? No. And I've just been going with it. He said, I've got to put God first. So he said, I'm going to go and see my boss. And I'm going to tell him that if they can't give me Sundays off anymore, I'm going to have to resign my job because I need to put God first. He said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. Believe God. So he went and sat in front of his boss. And the boss said, look, I need to get to church on Sundays. I'm missing out. He said, that's where I'm called to be. And then the boss says, oh, and we've told you, George, you can't have the days off. And then George says, well, then I'm going to have to resign because I can't not be in church anymore on a Sunday. And then he says, I need Tuesdays and I need Sundays and Tuesdays. I need Tuesdays so I can come into the office and help pastor people. I need Sundays so I can be in the house of God and pastor people. Boss says, oh, let me get back to you, George. We don't want to lose you. Comes back the next day, changes his contract. So, long story short, he gets Tuesdays and Sundays off every week from next Sunday on. And because of the change of his contract, his pay doesn't go down, his pay goes up. Because when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will add to you. God will add to you. He never takes away from you. God adds to you in the name of Jesus. Somebody ought to just shout and praise God right now for the addition that's coming in the name of Jesus. Someone shout, add. The Lord's going to add to you. Oh, that was good, actually. Number two. Point number two. Give God your first. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to God, which literally means it's set apart for God. Holy means just means that it's set apart for God. With regards to the tithe of 100%, 10% is holy. It's just set apart for God. When we have dinner at home, we set meals. This is set apart for Dad, set apart for Mum. Dad's one is usually bigger than everyone else's one. But no, actually, that's not true anymore. I'm changing. But anyway, but it's just set apart. And being holy means to be set apart for God. But this passage is not just about finances. It's not just about giving God your money. It's talking about giving God everything to do with your life. What about giving God the first of your thoughts? Imagine what kind of a thought day you would have if you gave God the first thought. What about giving God the first of your time? I don't have time to serve God. No. You just don't value that time to be important. Other things are more valuable. What about giving God your energy? Giving God your passion? Giving God your gift? I've been sitting down with Jeff over these past few days. What he's been doing with us and helping us right now, he's operating in his gift. And he's giving it to the Lord. And guess what? When he gives it to the Lord is going to give him back and the Lord is going to bless everyone else as well. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23 in the LB version says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first place in your life. That's why God instituted the principle of tithing. Tithing gets selfishness out of us. Tithing gets generosity into us. Tithing gets fear out of us. Many people don't give to God because of fear. Tithing gets fear out. And tithing puts faith in. Because now I've got to believe in God, trust God. That's the purpose of the tithe, to put, teach people to always put God first in your life. There are a few little categories that I reckon we could put God first too. What about putting God first in our day? In our day. Before you pick up your phone, before you check your Facebook, before you brush your teeth, maybe not for some of us. What about giving God the first 15 minutes of your day? Everyone's got 15 minutes. And maybe, perhaps there's a guide for some who perhaps want one. Maybe of the 15 minutes, you spend 5 minutes worshiping, 5 minutes reading your word, and 5 minutes praying. Can you imagine if you gave God 15 minutes for 365 days of the year? Can you imagine how different your life would be in 12 months? Give God the first of your day. What about giving God the first of our week? See, the beginning of our week is not Monday. The beginning of our week is Sunday. The week begins on Sunday, and I know this to be absolutely true. When I give God my Sunday, I have a way better rest of the week. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if your family, you gave 52 days of the year, the first day of every week to God, and you came into the house of God, and you took your children into an incredible kids program where they learn about who they are in God. Can you imagine, for the men here, can you imagine, I mean, how much better of a husband would you be? That's a motivation for some women in this room to get their men to church. Can you imagine how your faith would rise? Can you imagine how your mind would be transformed and renewed? Can you imagine how God would change you and move you by being in His presence? The Bible says, in His presence there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures evermore. Can you imagine what kind of year you would have if you gave God the first day of every week? What about the first day of every month? For me, that looks like I'm looking at my month in advance and I'm scheduling my month. I'm saying, where am I putting God first in my budgeting? Where am I putting God first in my family? I want you to know that Forward Church is not my first church. T80 Church is my first church. And so for me, I need to make sure that T80 Church is doing good too. But imagine giving God the first of your month. And this next one is one that I want to invite everybody to be a part of. What about giving God the first of your year? What about giving God the first of 2020? On Wednesday, the 22nd of January, as a church, we're calling the entire church, all three campuses, to a church-wide fast. Prayer and fasting. From the 22nd of January to the 31st of January, in other words, to the end of January, we're going to set aside a fast. 10 days of prayer and fasting for 2020, but 10 days of prayer and fasting for this building that God has for us in the name of Jesus. Come on. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says these words. He says, when you fast, He didn't say, if you feel like fasting. In other words, it's a presumption. It's a spiritual discipline. It is for every Christian. He says, when you fast, this is how you should do it. The word fast comes from the Greek word meaning to abstain. In other words, it means to go without certain things so that we can be more attentive to the voice and the leading of the Lord. Drawing closer to God, to hear Him clearly, to invoke His response or intervention. Fasting is not torture. Well, kind of is. But it's not torture. And neither is it a diet. Churches like to fast at the beginning of the year because of everything they ate in the 3 months before that. It's not that. But fasting, the Bible says some things only shift by prayer and fasting. There are some things that don't change over your life but by fasting. Abraham's servant, when he was seeking a bride for Isaac, he fasted. Hannah, who was praying for a child because she was barren, she fasted. David fasted on several occasions. Elijah, after his victory over Jezebel, he fasted. Esther, when God's people were threatened with extermination, she fasted and prayed. Jesus, when he began his public ministry, he fasted and he prayed for 40 days. Paul, at the point of his conversion, he fasted. Not only that, but many great Christian leaders throughout history have fasted. Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, John Wesley, Charles Finney, and many, many more have fasted and prayed and seen God break through. There are different kinds of fasts. You can have a complete fast, which is just water. Selective fast, like a Daniel fast. Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. You can do a partial fast from sun up to sundown. All of these are in the Bible. But whatever it looks like for you, can I encourage you, if you've never done that before, to take a step of faith and fast in 2020 and give God the beginning of 2020. As a church, we're going to have one combined prayer meeting in the middle of our fasting. And we're going to believe God together, that God's going to do something absolutely powerful. Touch someone next to you and say, give God first. And third point, number three. You still with me this morning? I said, you still with me this morning? Number three. This, I believe, is one of the most important ones. Expect God to increase. Expect it. Expect God to increase. Oh, that's that hyper faith stuff. No. That's not hyper faith. That's Bible. The Bible says, Psalms chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord from all your wealth and from the first. Everyone say first. First of all your produce. So that. Everyone say so that. So that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with wine. In other words, he's saying, honor the Lord first and expect an increase. Honor the Lord first and expect him to fill your vat in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine? You know what? Sometimes this crazy thought runs through my mind. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. There's not enough hours in the day. You know what I've discovered? That when I give time to God, I get more time back. When I give my thoughts to God, I get more thoughts back. When I give my resource to God, I get more resource back. Hey, when I give my years to God, I get years back in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us that I will restore to you the years that the locust has stolen. The years that the enemy has taken, the years that have been devastated before you, God says, I'm going to restore. I need you to touch five people around you and say, restore, 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 restore. Come on, come on. You got to restore. Come on. Your God is a God who restores. There are many people in this room, and I was one of you. When I first gave my life to Jesus at the age of 21, I thought to myself, I've wasted so much of my life. I've wasted so much time. I'm too far gone. I'm never going to be as good as that guy. God's never going to use me like that guy. I've wasted so much time. Years, I'm used. I'm past my expiry date. The years are gone. But I discovered one thing. When you give your life to God, and when you put God first, God always restores to you the years that the devil tried to steal. And I've been walking with Jesus now. I mean, really walking with Jesus for 22 years. I've been a pastor now for over half my life, for 21 years. And can I tell you that from that day, in an auditorium at the back, just like this, when I said yes to Jesus and thought that my life was worth nothing, can I tell you now that 21 years of walking with Jesus, I've never been more blessed in my life than I am today. I've never been more grateful to God than I am today. I never expected all the things that God would give to me. The Bible says he causes his lines to fall for us in pleasant places. And I never knew that until I gave my life to God, because he's a restorer. at the end of last year, we showed a My God story. And that My God story was of a young, strapping young man called Mete. And Mete moved here to the Gold Coast about 4 odd years ago with his family to start the Mongrel Mob Gang. And he moved here to do that. When he moved here, his daughter, Shyla, was part of our youth group. She came to church. She gave her life to Jesus. The following week was Mother's Day, and she invited her mum. Her mum came. Mum gave her life to Jesus. The following weekend, Dad says, "Hey, where you guys going? We're going to church. I better come and check it out, make sure it's not a cult." He comes to church. He gives his life to Jesus. Yeah. He calls up this guy and says, "Hey, I'm done with that gang. I got a new gang. I'm a gangster for God." Well, can I tell you that since that day, that very day, they made that decision. They personally made the decision to seek God first. They've not missed a single Sunday of church ever since that day. As a family, they've continued to grow and seek God first. And recently, they went back to New Zealand for what they thought was a holiday. But what happened was, before they got back to New Zealand, now you must understand that if you've come here for a life like that, then that's the life you've come from. So now they're going back into that life. But they've been in the house of God for the last 3 years. And so what happens is, they go back, and the video that we played in church, that we put on social media, went viral. So before they got back there, this video had gone before them. And so when they went there, they thought they were going there on a holiday. Truth is, God sent them there on a missionary trip. So when they went there, they arrived there, people would come. "Hey, I seen your story. Man, I can't believe that God done that. Man, could God ever do that to me?" You know, even people they didn't know were coming up to them and say, "Hey, look, I seen your video." You know, and then these guys, this gangster for God, all of a sudden was the prayer warrior for this people. He gets a phone call. "Hey, listen. Hey, there's this fight. The mob and the black power, they're about to get it on. You need to come, Mete." Mete turns up. What was going to be this massive fight ends up being a point of peace. They come back here. Hope you don't mind me sharing this. I didn't ask them before I shared this. You know, it just comes out. I saw you there, it just comes out. So at a group recently, a family group, and I'm only sharing this because it's going to help people. At a family group recently, and this is a family group that Pastor George has been leading, gathering all these men once a fortnight or once a week, and then on the fourth week, the men bring all their families together and they fellowship together. And so they get together, and Rangi stands up and says, "You know what? I've never loved my husband more than I love him right now. This year, those two are both doing Bible college." Come on. If you weren't before, you are now. But anyway. God can restore the years that the locusts have stolen from you. He will add to you. He will give you exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all you can ask, think, or imagine. Come on, if there's anybody who believes that in this place, somebody ought to shout to God with a voice of triumph.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.